Penguin Random House presents The Pregnant King, a novel by Devdutt Patnaik, read by Suyash Mohan.
Author's note. And then it begins. The search for the fifth head of Brahma. His first gave us words. His second gave us grammar. His third gave us meter. His fourth gave us melody. The last one is missing, the fifth, the head with meaning. The story of the pregnant king is recounted twice in the Mahabharata, once by the sage Lomasha during the exile of the Pandavas, and the second time by the poet Vyasa during the war with the Kauravas. The story is also retold in several Puranas, each with its own unique twist. Why does this bizarre tale exist? I have wondered. What function does it serve in the sacred chronicles? Typically, the tale belongs to an earlier era, predating the battle at Kurukshetra by many generations. Not so in my book. This book is a deliberate distortion of tales in the epics. History has been folded, geography crumpled. Here, Yuvanashva is a contemporary of the Pandavas who engages Arjuna in a dialogue. There are new characters like Yuvanashva's mother, Mandata's brother, and Shikhandi's daughter. None of these have any scriptural basis. They have been churned out of my imagination as I have tried to weave a tapestry of tales that, at the very least, delights. Yes, the classical scriptures do tell the tales of Somvat, Sthunkarna and Shikhandi. Stories of Aili called Pramila here, Iravan and Buhuchari called Bahugami here are part of the rural and Hijra traditions of Tamil Nadu and Gujarat. But I have let these only inspire, not limit me. I have even taken the liberty of coalescing the story of Ila and Bhanganashwa into one. The book is full of hymns, chants, rituals, spells, speculations, philosophies, and ancient codes of conduct. These must not be taken as authentic, and my intention is not to recreate reality, but to represent thought process. At the end of my yagna, after long deliberations with many gods and demons, I find myself holding a pot, the narrative. Within the pot is a potion, a concoction of ideas, thoughts, and feelings. My patron, the Yajmana, can admire the pot, or break it, drink the potion, or spit it out. Or she may ask, as I often do, what matters more, the pot or the potion? Did the events actually happen? Does it matter? Is it really about Shilavati, Yuvanashva, Shikhandi, or Somvati? Or is it about love, law, identity, gender, power, and wisdom? The impossibility of universal fairness? Who knows? Within infinite myths lies the eternal truth. Who sees it all? Varuna has but 1,000 eyes, Indra 100, and I only 2. Prologue. They came like ants to honey. Warriors. Hundreds of warriors. Every self-respecting Kshatriya in the land called Ilavrita, led by conch-shell trumpets, followed by a vast retinue of servants wearing resplendent armor, bearing mighty bows, came on elephants, on chariots, and on foot along the banks of the Ganga, the Yamuna, and the Saraswati. Through the darkest nights and the coldest days of the year, to the misty plains of Kurukshetra. They came, the young and the old, the adventurous and the inexperienced, to fight the Pandavas or the Kauravas or for Dharma. Some came to settle old scores. Some were drawn by destiny. Some came obliged by marriage. Others, because death in Kurukshetra guaranteed a place in Swarga, Indra's paradise. Many came for the glory, for this was no ordinary war. It would be the greatest battle ever fought over property and principle in the land of the Aryas. A battle of 18 armies. Bards would sing of it long after the last warrior had fallen. This war would make heroes of men. Soon, banners of every king and kingdom fluttered along the horizon. Hundreds, no, thousands. But alas, there was no banner from Vallabhi. Yuvanashva, the king of Vallabhi, wanted to come.
Not for glory, not to settle any score, not out of sense of duty either, but to define dharma for generations to come. That is why I wish to go,
he told the Kshatriya elders.
Long have we argued who should be king, Kauravas or Pandavas, the sons of a blind elder brother or the sons of an impotent young brother. Men who go back on their word or men who gamble away their kingdom. Men for whom kingship is about inheritance or men for whom kingship is about order. What could not be agreed by speech will be established in blood. All the kings will participate. I must too.
Yuvanashva had raised an army, filled his quivers, fitted his chariot, and unfurled his banner. He had then gone to his mother, the venerable Shilavati, to seek her permission. A widow since the age of 16, Shilavati had been the regent of Vallabhi and custodian of her son's kingdom for nearly 30 years. Placing his forehead on her feet, his heart full of excitement, Yuvanashva had said,
Krishna's efforts to negotiate peace between the cousins has collapsed. The division of the Kuru clan is complete. The 5 Pandavas have declared war against the 100 Kauravas.
Conch shells of war are being blown in the 8 directions.
It is a call to arms for every Kshatriya. This is no longer a family conflict. It is a fight for civilization as we know it. Grant me permission so that I can go.
It was then that Shilavati's affectionate hand on her son's head stilled.
Go if you must, she said, her voice full of disapproval. Noble causes are noble indeed, but that is their story. I am interested only in yours. Should you die in Kurukshetra, my son, fighting for dharma, you will surely go to the realm of the gods, covered in glory. There, standing on the other side of the river Vaitarni, you will find your father, your grandfather, your great-grandfather, and all the fathers before him. The nameless Pitras. They will ask you if you have done your duty, repaid your debt to your ancestors, fathered children through whom they hope to be reborn in the land of the living. What will be your answer then?
Yuvanashva's heart sank. He had no answer. 13 years of marriage, 3 wives, and nothing to show for it. All dreams of a triumphant return faded in the winter mist. His mother was right. What if he died? Behind him would be an abandoned kingdom, an abandoned mother, and 3 abandoned wives. Before him would be unhappy ancestors, cawing like crows, refusing to let him enter the land of Yama. What would be actually achieved? Glory? Dharma? So he took a decision.
I will not go, not until I father a son.
But this is your one chance to be like your illustrious ancestors, said his friend Vipula when he returned to his Mahasabha. You could return alive, triumphant, with the courage to march to every corner of the world and declare yourself Chakravarti, ruler of the circular horizon.
What kind of Chakravarti will I be? What kind of dharma will I establish if I let myself be driven by desire? I have a duty towards my subjects.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?